My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French, and these are my rants. Last Friday night, it's Friday, tyrants, and I am just so happy. I don't know why this week felt like it was 500 million years long. It was so long. I don't know what about it. Maybe I've been gone for so long. I'm such a traveled person these days that, you know, this much time at home, it's just got me just shaking in my boots. And speaking of shaking in my boots, it's the luck of the Irish. Happy St. Patrick's Day. On Sunday, we have got St. Patrick's Day. We are celebrating the luck of the Irish. Every time I think about St. Patrick's Day, all I think about is the movie Luck of the Irish from Disney Channel, a Disney Channel original movie. Obviously the most amazing cinema to, you know, reach the big screens, aka the big screen in my living room as a child. So, Luck of the Irish was filmed in Utah, okay? Farmington, Utah. If you didn't know that, now you know. Me and Disney Channel original movies, there's just so much crossover, you know? It's kind of crazy that I wasn't asked to be in one, but, you know, it's never too late. It's never too late. You know, I'm getting a little older, so I might need to be, you know, playing someone's older brother. Don't you guys even get the thought in your head that I could be playing someone's dad, because that's just not going to happen. That is where I draw the line. I'm not old enough to be playing no dads, even though technically I could have a child that was, oh my gosh, I could literally have like a 9-year-old kid right now. Ah! Oh my gosh. It's so scary to think about. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, St. Patrick's Day. You know, I was thinking, Old St. Patty. Why are we celebrating his ass? Who the hell is St. Patrick? Is it a leprechaun? Is it something to do with the church? Is he just, you know, maybe a celebrity in Ireland? Which, okay, before I get into that, there's been a lot of discussions here on Tyrants lately about Ireland. And, you know, I said I didn't know if Ireland was part of the UK. And someone came back to me and said that it's not part of the UK and that they fought for their right and their independence in like 1918. And I was like, wow, that's so amazing. Okay, that makes sense. Why, like, people like Barry Keoghan in interviews, when people think that he's British, is like, no, I'm from Ireland. So then on last week's episode, or on Wednesday's episode, oh my God, can I get my fucking facts straight? On Wednesday's episode, I was talking about how Ireland is not a part of the UK. Raise your hand if you were aware of the fact that there are two Irelands. It was made to me aware in the direct messages on Instagram by a tyrant whose mother is from Northern Ireland. Excuse me. Northern Ireland and Ireland are two different places. Same island, but two different places, two different governments, okay? So, one, I'm going to get it wrong, but I think Northern Ireland is a part of the UK. Ireland, which I'm assuming is south of Northern Ireland, is not a part of the UK. So, that's just some history for you guys, and I'm probably still getting something wrong. I'm sure someone will be, you know, educating me in the DMs. And yes, I could look this information up. However, I do not care. And I like to live in a state of oblivion, especially when it comes to, you know, geography. Anyways, as I was preparing, you know, and I was thinking, wow, this episode's going to go up. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day weekend. Can't wait to drink some beer, get some pints. I'm going to wear some greens. Nobody's pitching my cute little bootay. If you pinch me, if I'm not wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, be prepared for these two uppercuts, left and right fist, straight to the face. Don't touch me. Don't pinch me. Not going to happen. Because guess what? I don't look that cute in green. I don't even think I own any green. Except for if I wear like a dark emerald green, then I can do that. Can I get a thought out? Why are we celebrating St. Patrick's Day? Guess what? Shocker. Woo, woo, shocker. St. Patrick's Day is a celebration to commemorate Christianity reaching Ireland. It says, the day commemorates St. Patrick and the arrival of Christianity in Ireland, and by extension, celebrates the heritage and culture of the Irish in general. Celebrations generally involve public parades and festivals. I don't know what that word is. And the wearing of green attire and shamrocks. You know, I'm all here for the celebration of the culture of the Irish people, both Northern and Southern. However, the celebration of the spread of Christianity. Now, I ain't got nothing wrong against them Christians out there, but I am not a Christian woman. And so, you know, I need to find new, you know, I'm not a Christian woman. Yes, I still celebrate Christmas. I know what a lot of you guys are thinking, but, you know, I just need to rethink my St. Patrick's Day celebrations because, you know, I don't know. I just, maybe, is that cultural appropriation? I don't know. Because that's not part of my culture. But I'm so happy for you guys. I'm so happy for all the Christians and everyone in Ireland who is celebrating St. Patrick's Day this weekend, both in Northern Ireland and in Ireland, the southern part of Ireland. Anyways, are leprechauns real? Is that? I need to look that up. Okay, according to Google, it says no. Leprechauns are mythological creatures found in Ireland in rural areas away from the general population, and they're said to be practical jokesters. They love to play tricks on humans. Many stories depict them as mischievous. Mischievous little short people. Sounds like Jose, okay? So maybe I'll put a ginger beard on him and dress him in green this Sunday and have a ball of time at a bar with some beer. Stay tuned for that information. Anyways, I just, you know, thought I would start this Friday by wishing all my fellow Christians and Irish people a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm so glad that we have a day just celebrating the spread of Christianity to the Irish people. I'm sure that native Irish people just loved that. I'm sure they had a beautiful... I gotta stop myself on the head, okay? Oh, my gosh. Wow. You know what St. Patrick's Day really makes me want? Oh, it's freaking Lucky Charms. Tricks are for kids. No, what did we decide the saying was? Lucky Charms. It's a little leprechaun. It's a rainbow. Magically delicious. Yep, that's it. So maybe if you want to celebrate and you want to be an ally to an Irish person in your life, get some Lucky Charms this Sunday and have it for brekkie, you know? Even though Bradkey's Aussie. Okay, I'm being El Pollo Loco. I'm being a crazy chicken. Yes, El Pollo Loco means a crazy chicken. I'm very fluent in Spanish these days because I'm just so well-traveled. I'm so well-cultured. But anyways, that's not what we are here to talk about today. It's time to go to the salon for some French tips. It is time for my monthly advice segment where you guys write in and I give you guys advice on anything that you guys might need. But before we get into that, do I have any other life updates for you? I went to an Aldo Shoes event last night in West Hollywood with Josefina, the one and only Josefina Cuervo. And it was fun. That was like the first time I've had one-on-one time with Jose without recording a podcast episode in literally ages. It's been way too long. And so it was fun. It was always fun to see him. We went to dinner first at one of my favorite spots, Zinke. I had a burger. It was delicious. And while I was in the area, did I already tell you guys this? So you guys know Coachella prep is in full effect. And I can't remember if I said this on Wednesday's episode, but I accidentally mailed my Coachella wristbands to my old address. And luckily, I know the person that moved in there, but the person is out of town. So I'm trying to get it. And I saw what time that they were delivered at on like the USPS website. And so I drove in prime rush hour traffic in Los Angeles from Venice to West Hollywood, which might I add, is only for God's strongest soldiers. And guess what? That's me. I'm one of God's strongest soldiers. I'm one of the Marines because that drive absolutely deserved jail. I haven't done it in a while. And so I get there and needless to say, long story short, bada bing, bada boom, I just missed the mail lady. But it wasn't just delivered to the door. It's in the mailbox. So I need to see the postal worker. I need to go up to her and I need to say, ma'am, I used to live in this building. Here is my driver's license. There is a package for me in this compartment. Please open it and give me my Coachella wristbands. So yeah, that was a big waste of my time. I sat out there for an hour and a half and then I went to dinner and then I went to the event with Jose. So it was a fun little night. Today I have just been Cinderella. I've been Little Mr. Cinderella. I don't think I've deep cleaned this apartment. I'm a very clean person, but I haven't deep cleaned this apartment since I moved in last July. Like, I'm talking hands on the knees, cleaning the baseboards, yada, yada, bing, bada, bing, bada, boom. When I tell you bibbity, bobbity, boo, it took me all day and all I did was my bathroom. But that bathroom, you could lick the toilet seat. It is so clean. The amount of bleach that I used in that restroom, I probably lost a few brain cells. Maybe that's why I'm acting a little kooky because guess what? I'm high off of Clorox bleach. And I literally cleaned so much. And it looks the exact same. It smells good. And, you know, always good to get the dust out. But yeah, that was only the bathroom. I thought I was going to do a deep clean day of my whole apartment. And lordy, 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 lordy. I'm tired after just that. So I will be, you know, doing the kitchen another day. Maybe reorganizing my closet and stuff another day. And then, you know, I'll tackle the main room. I did like a good, you know, sweep through. I vacuumed. I wiped down the cupboards, the dressers, all of that. But I didn't really, you know, deep clean like I did the rest of room. Oh, also, I wanted to share with you guys this Sunday, obviously, St. Patrick's Day, luck of the Irish. But then next Sunday is the marathon that our Miss Josefina Cuervo is going to be running in with my friend Claire, my friend Jillian, my friend Juge, my friend Mary. A lot of my friends are running in this marathon in memory of one of my best friend Claire's brother. They are running for opioid epidemic awareness, and this is a cause that is really important to us and really, really important to her. She obviously has been tragically affected by this, and I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to lift her up and lift Jose up in this run. They've been training for so long, and this is just something that is really, really important to them and really important to me. And I will be there cheering them on from the sidelines. Yeah, I put the link for the GoFundMe in the bio of Tyrants Pod Instagram page. They are so close to reaching their goal of $14,000. They are currently at $13,300. So literally any amount helps. And this is just seriously such a special, special cause. And I'm so proud of her, and I'm so proud of Jose, and I'm so proud of all of my friends running in this, and I can't wait to go and support them and see them run. And I'm sure on the next Totally Random episode, Jose and I will be able to talk all about it, and he'll be able to share firsthand his experience doing the marathon and everything. Yeah, I just wanted to lay that out there, give you guys an opportunity to donate if you'd like to support. That would mean so much. Claire, I love you so much. And yeah, wow. I can't wait to see you crush it at the marathon next weekend. Anyways, before we get into the French tips of it all, before we go to the salon, I was going to do just like a quick, you know, breakdown of everything that I'm watching lately, but there's so much that I want to say, and also nothing at all. You know, Love is Blind finally concluded. The reunion is out, and I don't even know what I think. It's such a mess. It's such a shit show, this group. I will say I am shocked that that couple is still together. I can't remember their names. Is it Johnny and Amy or something? I'm shocked they're still together. I didn't believe anything about their relationship. But then after seeing the montage play of the last year of their life, like, it did seem like they really do have a genuine relationship. So I was happy for them. But we didn't get any answers. Like, are AD and Clay dating? Are they back together? What about Chelsea and her guy? I was just all around confused, but I will say this. I have so many thoughts about Love is Blind, Bachelor, Traitors, all of the things. But here's where I get tripped up on the podcast with sharing my thoughts about things that I'm watching is I could do a whole episode on Love is Blind and I could do a whole episode on RuPaul's Drag Race and a whole episode on this. But it trips me up because I know a lot of you guys listen and you guys don't watch those shows. And so I don't want to like ice people out of the episodes and, you know, no one wants to listen to half an episode about a TV show they've never watched, you know, and you're only going to do that with your favorite podcast for so many times before if you keep talking about the same show, then you're just not going to be interested. So part of the I told you guys I'm going to be starting a Patreon. I'm still like working out, you know, what that's going to look like. But part of the reason that I wanted to start a Patreon and what I think will be really exciting and really fun is I'll be able to do just more episodes on there that are more targeted towards shows like that. Like I can do a full Love is Blind, you know, chat. We could chat all about the season, either when it's done or, you know, episode by episode. And same thing with like RuPaul's Drag Race and Bachelor, you know, Housewives, all of these things. And then it will just live on there. And whenever you watch it, like you can go, you can watch it, you can listen to my thoughts, or whatever. But that isn't taking place of my weekly episodes here on, you know, Tyrants, you know, like I don't want Tyrants to just turn into, you know, watch reports and stuff, because then if you guys aren't watching the shows or you don't care about the shows, then you don't care. But I would like to dive deeper into it and, you know, do like more like movie reviews and, you know, album reviews. Like I could like do a whole episode live listening to the new Ariana Grande album and like giving you my live reactions while I'm listening to it. And then, like I said, you guys can just listen to that on there. So I have a lot of fun ideas for the podcast. So, I mean, for the Patreon of Tyrants. So I'll let you guys know more kind of as that unfolds and when I decide I'm going to publish it and, you know, what that'll look like. But I guess quickly, yeah, I just told you my Love is Blind thoughts quickly. Quickly, my Bachelor thoughts. If that fucking bitch goes home and leaves my precious Joey heartbroken, I'm gonna freak out. Because the girl, I can't remember her name, the girl that wants to go home, she is the one that needs to win. Like, if she goes home, I will be devastated. And the girl with the cochlear implant, I like her. She's my second runner-up. But, like, I just don't see it. Like, I don't think she is fully invested into him. She's not selling me on it. And from, I haven't seen any spoilers or anything. And based off of the preview, it looks like my man Joey is going to be heartbroken and alone. And let me tell you, one woman's trash is another gay man's treasure. Joey, if you need some nursing back to health, come latch on to these titties. Oh my gosh. The things I would do to this man. I'm in love. He's this. I just can't imagine, like, you know, you go on a show for love and you have this absolute Prince Charming in front of you and then you walk away. Guess what? You deserve to die alone. You deserve to be alone for the rest of your life. Because what more could you want? What more could you ask for? Because I guarantee you, you're not going to find it in any other man. If even Joey wasn't enough, I got news for you, lady. You're going to be unsatisfied for the rest of your life because no man is ever going to reach your standards. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so upset. I can't wait to see an update. We only have like two more episodes left. So, or maybe just, yeah, I think two more. So stay tuned. I'll keep you guys updated on my thoughts there. Traitors. Now, this one will be quick because I know a lot of you guys aren't watching it, which is absolutely prison jail. You guys have to watch Traitors. It is literally one of the best shows I've ever seen. It's a competition series on Peacock. And Peacock is so cheap. It's only $4. And it has all the best shows on TV. Like, I'm obsessed. It has all the Housewives. It has Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It has, like, you know, Survivor. And, you know, it just has so many. You guys need to get it. Anyways, spoiler alert. What CT and Trishelle did to Mercedes Javid, MJ, from Shots of Sunset, which is one of the best reality TV shows ever on national television. If you guys haven't watched it, you guys need to watch it. And the first two seasons are on Netflix. You guys have got to go watch. I don't know where you can stream the rest of the seasons, but it is literally one of the best TV shows ever. I'm begging Andy and Bravo to bring it back onto our screens. Anyways, that's what she's from. I've been a big time fan forever. I've literally watched it a million times. And I am just obsessed with her. I'm obsessed with MJ. She, you know, has just had a long, hard journey on reality TV. And she really just feels like really settled in her life now. And I was so happy that she was not a traitor and that she was a faithful. And she made it to the end and they, you know, got out Kate. And then for them to stab her in, not even in the back, they did it right to her fucking face. They stabbed her in the face so hard. If I was her, I would never trust again. I was so upset. I was so disgusted of CT and Trishelle. Because guess what? Who are the traitors now? Who are the traitors now? The whole name of the game is not to be alone at the end with the most money. It is to be at the end with no traitors. They accomplished that. They knew damn well that MJ was not a traitor. And they still voted her out because they wanted to keep the money for themselves. Selfish pricks. I know it's a game. I know it's a reality competition series. But at some point, I would have lost it. Lost it. Like, they would not have walked out of there not in a wheelchair. I'm sorry. I would literally assault someone. My heart broke. That was, that reunion or that finale was the most intense season finale of any show I've ever seen, other than season 4 Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Heather Gay. So, wow, that's kind of my watch report. But like I said, I want to be able to dive deeper into TV shows without, you know, the tyrants who don't watch these shows being annoyed. So I want to do more like watch reports and stuff that I feel like will be really fun on the Patreon, because I'll be able to just really dive into each show that I watch. And so if you don't watch one show, you don't have to watch that episode, but you'll have another one. And yeah, so I'm really excited about that. But anyways, enough chitter chatter, enough luck of the Irish. It is time to go to the salon for some French tips. Okay, this first one is a little long, but I just had to read it because it starts out by saying, "Longtime tyrant here, been with you since your Canadian foot infection and pride tank top. If you know, you know." And there could not be a more, if you know, you know, you know, you know, if you know, you know, you know, situation than that. The Canadian foot thing, I feel like I talk a lot about, but the pride tank top is truly so in the lore of Thai French, and it's so niche. You had to be there at a very specific day on my Instagram stories. And so this queen just has my full undivided attention after starting the submission off like that. So this is actually me submitting on behalf of my bestie. This might get confusing, so I'm just going to speak in first person as if I am her. Okay, so I have a friend from college, let's call her Mary, who I met on the rowing team. She's 4 years older than me, so I only knew her when she was a senior and I was a freshman. We're not super close. It just so happens that we have the same birthday. It's never really been an issue in the past until this year. So Mary is friends with girls that are my best friends, but since it's her 30th, she obviously is going a little bigger, so she invited some of my friends, and I guess now I should feel so lucky she invited me. I texted her about it a while ago before she really planned anything, and she did tell me and warned me, but now the more she plans, I am sad that I will be spending my birthday celebrating her. She didn't even say we could celebrate together. It's only her birthday celebration, while she knows full well that it is my birthday as well. This birthday is a weekend thing, not even close to any airports, and most people have to travel for it. So after the celebration, it's not like my friends are really going to be able to travel again to celebrate with me another weekend, so I'm feeling pretty bummed and not really sure what to do. On top of that, she keeps making it a big deal the fact that significant others are not invited, but that mine has the option to, as if that's so generous of her. Why would I want to spend my birthday celebrating her without my girlfriend of 3 years? What do you think I could say, if anything at all, about celebrating my birthday as well over the weekend? Or should I just surrender and celebrate a weekend later without my best friends? I attached the invitation in one of the texts. I think the invitation looks ugly. Love you, Rat King. Oh, this is so hard. And I will agree with you. The invitation that you sent is the ugliest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't really understand where she made this. If this is, this looks like a joke. Like, the invitation actually looks like a joke. It looks like she made it in elementary school. However, the text message that you sent a screenshot of, it doesn't seem like bad. Like, it seems pretty sweet. So it says, "Hi, here's my B-date invite, and I'd love for you and blank to come. I haven't invited any other partners, but wanted you and blank to have the option to both come. Also, blank and I are back together, so technically the B-date girls both get their partners. Let me know what you decide and hope you're having a good Sunday." So she is acknowledging in this text message that the B-date girls get their partners. Like, it is both of your guys' birthdays. So at least she's acknowledging that it is your birthday as well that same day. I do understand. I kind of see both sides, because I understand your position of obviously, like, it's your birthday and you want to be able to celebrate it with your friends. But I also do agree that when it's someone's 30th, like, that is just a big milestone in life. And you kind of have to surrender. You kind of have to put yourself on the back burner when it is one of your friends' 30th birthdays. Or at least that's how I have tried to, you know, look at things. Like, when, if I have a friend's 30th birthday that year, you know, maybe I won't do something as big on my birthday, even if it's 2 months away, just because, you know, we're going to be spending our money doing like a big crew trip for that birthday, not for mine. So I do understand, like, her wanting her 30th birthday to be like an occasion for her and for it to be a moment for her in her life. But that is just a lot to ask of you, for your friends to be there with your birthday celebrating her. I think I would just, you say you're not super close with her, but I would just, that is so hard. I actually don't know which side I agree with more, because you don't want to make things awkward before this trip that you're going on with all of your friends and her for her 30th birthday. You don't want to make it about you, but also it is about you. If it were me, I'm keeping it 100% real. This was my first initial thought, and I could really, you know, break down this situation, and there's obviously a lot of factors that I don't know about this relationship, but just based off what I know, my initial reaction is bring your girlfriend. Obviously, you're going to be there with all your best friends on a vacation that you didn't have to plan on your birthday. Sure, you're going to be celebrating her and she can make it about her, you know, get the cake for her or whatever, but you're still going to be with all your best friends on your birthday. So if she wants to make it about, like, her and celebrating her, that's fine. Like, let her have her moment. It's her 30th, whatever. But it's kind of a win-win. Like, you didn't have to plan anything. You're still going to be with all your best friends. I'm sure when the day comes and it's your actual birthday and you're all together and you're with all of your best friends, they're still going to be celebrating you. They're still going to be, you know, hyping you up, making you feel gorgeous and, you know, really just uplifting you on your day. It's not like they're going to completely forget about you and only be celebrating this girl because it's technically her birthday trip. You know what I mean? Like, I would just let it go and you can have a more intimate celebration that is just about you. Maybe the next weekend when you get back, maybe just with you and your partner and, you know, maybe some other local friends that you have. I know you said that they won't be able to come in from out of town because they don't live there, but you're going to be with them regardless. You're going to be with your friends regardless. Let your friend have her thing. It's her 30th. I would just be the bigger person, take the higher road. I wouldn't say anything about it. Maybe if anything, I would say some things to some of your best friends. Like, choose like two of your closest friends that are joining you. Tell them how you feel and be like, listen, I don't want to make this weekend about me at all. I would just like to let you guys know that obviously they know it's your birthday as well. But I would just say, like, I also, you know, want to feel appreciated. And I also want to do maybe a little something for my birthday. So maybe, you know, if you do like pancakes with a candle on your birthday for you to, you know, sing happy birthday, blah, blah, wish. And then, like, for the birthday dinner, you know, you guys can do the cake and celebrate her or whatever. But it's a little thing like that that'll just make you feel special. But I truly think that no matter where you're at, what you're doing, as long as you're surrounded by your best friends on your birthday, that is enough. They don't need to be, you know, gawking at your feet, screaming happy birthday every 2 seconds for you, you know? But on your 30th birthday, you kind of do want that. You kind of do want that little extra special attention. 30, especially for, you know, being a woman, I'm sure is, is a lot. It's a big milestone and it carries a lot of weight. And so for your friends to just be there and like really make that a moment, I think is really special. So maybe let her have this little moment, have this weekend, but you're still going to be with all your best friends on your birthday. And what more could you ask for? Honestly, I would take the high road. I'd be the bigger person and just not let it get to you. And that is coming from the most petty bitch alive. Like, I know if I was in the same position, then it's easy for me to give that advice without being offended. But that was just my initial reaction. Also, our birthdays are one day apart. So happy early birthday. But anyways, thanks so much for coming to the salon. I hope I helped. I don't know if that was the advice that you wanted to hear, but anyways, the next client at the salon says, Ty, I love, love, love you and the pod. Listening to you is always a highlight in my day. Okay, so here's where I need help. I've been hooking up with this guy that lives in the same student housing as me. We met at the beginning of this semester and we've been hooking up every week since. Good for you, girl. The problem is I really like him. He said I'm the only girl he's talking to, but yet we've never gone on a date. How do I ask him where this situationship is going without sounding like a desperate little bitch? Because I obviously don't want to stop hooking up with him, but I really want a relationship. Help. Here is the thing, ladies and gentlemen in the non-binary community. We've got to stop being scared of having conversations that we literally have sexual intercourse with. I guess maybe I need to hold my thought. You just said hooking up. I don't want to like project on you. But if you're hooking up with someone, I'm sorry, if your freaking tongue is going down my throat, gobble me, swallow me, drip down inside of me, then you bet your ass I'm going to feel comfortable enough to be going, knock, knock, knock. Hey, if you want this little punani for the rest of, you know, the semester, you're going to need to take me on an ice cream date. Maybe let's watch a movie. You know, let's go on a date. Where is this going? Or just say like, you know, I just want to be open with our communication. People get so scared of addressing situationships or, you know, friends with benefits or whatever, because they think that that person is automatically going to think like, oh, then if we're not dating and I'm not going to make you my boyfriend, then we have to stop this. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's just nice to be open with your communication and just get on the same page with someone that you are literally being intimate with. I think that is totally reasonable. That doesn't make you crazy. That doesn't make you seem clingy or anything. And I would just be 100% straight up with this person. I'd be like, hey, I know that we are hooking up. You've mentioned that you aren't seeing anyone else. I'm not seeing anyone else, but I would just like to let you know, I kind of like you. I like where this is going. And my end goal is to be in a relationship. And I just wanted to, you know, check your temperature, see if you're there. And if you're not there, then maybe we need to dial back a little bit. And I need to be making time to go on dates with other people. We don't have to stop hanging out completely, but like, you know, just so you know, then maybe I will start seeing other people. And if not, he could be like, oh yeah, no, great. Like, let's go on some dates. You know, I think it's like, we are adults. If you're being intimate with someone, it is so reasonable and normal for you to have conversations like this and be like, hey, just wanted to check the temperature. Where are we at? And also, do you just want this to be a hookup thing? Or, I don't know, let's be crazy. Let's go to a movie. Let's be crazy. Let's go get ice cream and go to the park. Like, you know what I mean? And also, it's 2024. You can't be waiting on him to make a move and to, you know, ask you on a date, which, I mean, I think he should ask you on a date. But if you want to go on a date with him and you guys are hooking up and you guys are intimate, ask him on a date. Who cares? What's the worst he's going to say? No. And then if he says no, stop hooking up with this man immediately and start going on dates with other people. Anyways. Oh, I hope that helped you, my little tyrant. Love ya. Thanks for coming to the salon and thank you so much for the kind words. I love ya. Okay, the next client at the salon says, hi Ty, I wanted to get your opinion on friends who are energy vampires. I have a friend who seems to always control the conversation in our group hangs. She will trauma dump and talk all about herself. No matter what we do, she always brings the conversation back to herself. The last time I saw her, I was totally sober, but literally felt hungover the next day from how exhausting she was to be around. I feel like she genuinely cannot help it, and I feel bad for her, but I feel like it's draining the group and making hangs feel so awkward and uncomfortable. How would you handle a friend like this? Love you. First off, love you, love you, love you. Wow. Okay. So at first, when I first read this, you know, I read an energy vampire and I was biting my nails. I was going, because I feel like I can be like that sometimes. And that's my worst nightmare for my friends to think about that of me, because I know that, you know, I can take up a lot of energy in the room and I can be the loudest and I can be the most, you know, crazy. But what I'm not doing is trauma dumping and bringing every conversation back to myself. Well, you know, maybe sometimes I bring every conversation back to myself, but in a funny, entertaining way, not in a trauma dumpy way, you know? Anyways, I totally relate to, you know, feeling hungover after hanging with certain friendships because it's just so mentally draining. And honestly, how would I handle this? Oh my gosh. It depends on how close of friends you are with this girl, because there are people in my life in my past who have felt like this. And honestly, I take the loss. Like I, you know, kind of distance myself from them. I don't hang out. I'll hang out in groups or whatever, but even when we're in a group, you know, I'll maybe, you know, kind of stay in my own corner, or, you know, be talking to other people and not really ever have a one-on-one conversation with this person. Or if it was like my best friend, obviously, you know, I would have a sit down conversation with them and I would be like, listen, which I've done in the past. And if it didn't get resolved, then I moved on from that friendship, or we, you know, tried to grow and rekindle. But I've been like, you know what, listen, A, B, C, D, E, F, G is really affecting me and it's hurting our friendship. And I love you and I do feel bad for you and I want to be there for you. But, you know, maybe you need to realize time and place and blah, 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 blah. So I think it's just a matter of really weighing how important this friendship is to you and maybe like how everyone else in the group feels about it. It sounds like, you know, if it's draining the whole group, it sounds like you've talked to your other friends about this type of a situation. But yeah, I think whoever is closest to her in the group, if you guys want to keep them around, have a sit down conversation with her and be like, listen, like, are you okay? How are you doing? I wanted to do a one-on-one like touch base because, you know, you've been a little down, you've been a Debbie Downer. And I think if you approach it in the right way, then she's actually probably going to really appreciate that. She's going to appreciate someone, you know, recognizing that she is, you know, kind of down and, you know, dumping her trauma. And she obviously wants to talk about it. And so she would actually probably appreciate someone reaching out and giving that hand. And if it's done in a way that is separate from a group hang or whatever, where you guys are just trying to have fun, then if she addresses it and she gets it all out, you know, in a different setting, then maybe when you guys hang out in a group, she won't feel that pressure to keep bringing it up because she'll have gotten it off of her chest. But maybe this girl just doesn't have anyone in her life other than you guys, and she doesn't see people enough to talk to. She doesn't have anyone to talk to. And so she probably is doing it subconsciously, and she probably hates that she's even doing it, you know? I don't know. I don't even know if that helped, but thanks so much for coming to the salon. I love you. Okay, the next timer at the salon says, hi, Ty. Just wanted to say that I love your podcast so much. Such a fun part of my week, and I think of you as my one true source of pop culture. Wow. I love you. I love you, Tyron. Also, do not use me as a credible source because I don't know if half the shit I say is true. Do not put me in your, you know, your source citing in any essays in high school, okay? What is that called? A works cited page? Anyways, my friend is getting married this summer, and it'll be the first time I've seen several old friends from high school since I graduated like 6 years ago. One of these old friends happens to be my ex-boyfriend. I have no residual feelings, and I know we didn't belong together, but he cheated on me, so I'm still a bit bitter. I want to slay the house down boots, mama, at the wedding and make him regret all of his life decisions, but I've never been a fashion girly, and I have no idea what to wear. Any advice on how to style yourself for a wedding of this occasion? XOXO. Oh, girly, you come to the right place. You come to the right place. Okay, here's what you gotta do. The key to making somebody jealous is not being so obvious in that you're trying to make them jealous. So you can't show up to this wedding dressed to the nines in a bedazzled silk gown, you know, head to toe, hair and makeup done, snatched bun, yitty yitty yang, looking like you're going to the royal wedding. Because what's that going to say? Try hard. That's going to say try hard. And that's just not the energy that we want. We don't want to make it seem like we're fiending for his attention or that, you know, whatever. So you need to really hone in on what are your strong suits. You got a nice set of tits. You got a nice ass. You got a nice face. You got a nice hair. You got nice what? Like, what are your strong suits? What are your things that really make you feel, not for anyone else's perception, but like for you? Like, what are the things that make you feel the most confident? Number one, find a dress that really highlights what really you love about yourself. If you have amazing hair, you better rock that fucking hair, bitch, and have like a simple gown. If you have an amazing ass and you love your ass to be shown, maybe, you know, do like a messy kind of Margot Robbie, you know, tousled out of bed hairstyle, but then have a sickening tight gown that is, you know, just showing off that junk in the trunk. But it's got to be effortless feeling. It's got to feel, you know, oh, this whole thing. Oh, you like this dress? Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know. I just, it was something I had in my closet and I just, you know, I just put it on. It fits me amazingly. Wow, that's crazy. Oh my gosh, thank you for noticing. That's the energy it's got to feel. It's got to feel effortless. It's got to feel chic. It's got to feel not try hard. It's got to be, you're going to look at me, but I don't want you to look at me, or I didn't tell you to look at me. Yeah, it's got to be look at me, but I didn't tell you to look at me, but you want to look at me because I look so good. Does that make any sense? Like, I would go for, you know, I don't know how dressy the wedding is, but like, all black is always a good idea for a wedding. Obviously, you can't wear white. And, you know, just like a spaghetti strap, you know, like tight, like not like bodycon, but like a silky, like almost like a nightgown-esque, but like to the floor is always kind of a vibe. Yeah, I don't know. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to pick out 5 dresses. Online, and you're gonna DM me those 5 dresses, and I'm gonna tell you which one looks best, because it's hard for me to just like say, like, without everything that I just said, like, obviously find what makes you feel the most confident and really highlight that thing, because let's be honest, being sexy, a lot of it is the clothes and the actual like garment, but most of it is how that garment makes you feel. So that's what I mean. Like, find what you really love about yourself and find outfits that really highlight that. Because even if it's not the most sickening dress, if it makes you feel amazing and it makes you feel like, oh my gosh, my ass looks so good in this, or like my waist looks amazing in this, or like, oh my gosh, this makes my hair look so good, blah, 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 blah. Like, this color makes my eyes pop. It makes my teeth pop. Like, whatever you want to highlight, like, as long as you feel sexy, he ain't gonna be looking at the dress. I'm telling you that much. He's gonna be looking at the glow on your face, and he is going to be ruining the day that he cheated on you in high school. That little fucking bitch. I could punch him in the face. I don't even know him. Yeah. Anyways. Thanks so much for coming to the salon. I hope that helped you. The next tyrant at the salon says, "Ty, honey, I need some French tips. My husband and I are good friends with this girl who has been close to us for years. My husband and her have known each other since kindergarten and have been best friends ever since. This is how her and I met and became so close. She was one of my bridesmaids in our wedding. My husband and I decided to set her up with one of his good friends who was also in the wedding." Well, bad idea. "Since they have gotten together, this guy has prohibited my husband to talk to her, and that if my husband wants to talk to her, he has to go through this guy. He blames it on that she doesn't need to talk to another guy while in a relationship, but this is her best friend from kindergarten and was the one who set them up. We never hear from her anymore, and when we are around her, she acts like she can't talk to us or be our friend. It's so awkward. This guy is very controlling and watches her every move, and he monitors her texts. We all talked about it a couple months ago, and she pushed it off that her boyfriend hasn't done anything wrong and that she isn't concerned about her relationship with my husband, that she's happy and she does not see a problem. The guy still talks to my husband like nothing happened, and my husband doesn't know what to do or how to proceed with this friendship. The catch is he is proposing to her after only being together for 4 months. They plan on building a house together next year while planning their wedding. Ty, what do I do in this situation? It is so awkward and it has hurt my husband and my feelings because they were such good friends to us at one point. I can't wait to see what you have to say at the salon." Oh my gosh, girly, girly, girly. Wow. Okay. So here's the thing. This guy sounds like an asshole. Like, there's a conversation to be had. Obviously, you know, we saw this in the latest season of Love is Blind. Like, when you are in a relationship, friendships that you've maybe had with the opposite sex, they have to be different. There has to be boundaries. There has to be levels to relationships. That's what some would say. I think that, I don't know. It's so hard. It's so hard because I think that you can have friends, especially if they've been friends. They've been best friends since kindergarten. I'm so sorry. The fact that And your husband set them up, and then all of a sudden, it's crazy. It's actually kind of crazy. I think, honestly, this is just proving, like, he was in your wedding as well, and she was as well, but this is just proving the type of people that they are, and your husband shouldn't want to be friends with people like that. Like, that's so small-minded to think. It'd be one thing if... The argument is there to say, when you are in a relationship, should your partner have friends of the opposite sex that are straight? I think they can, but there does need to be a level of respect. The whole, like, them being best friends since kindergarten and them introducing you, and it's not like they're off, you know, having, I mean, I don't know, maybe they are, but it's not like they're having, like, one-on-one lunch dates. Like, you guys are all hanging out as friends, and, like, why can't he text her on the side about something? They've been friends their entire life. That is crazy to me. That's like, I mean, obviously I get it. It's different because I'm gay. But like, if Leif married JC and was like, oh, JC, like, you can't go on trips with him, or you can't, like, text him or whatever, that would be so weird. That would be so weird. That would be so hard. And if my friend allowed their partner to do that and to separate us, I think that just goes to show their character. I think there, yeah, like I said, there needs to be a level of respect, so I can see a little bit where this guy is coming from. But I think the worst part about it is the fact that, like, you've brought it up to them and they are not seeing any issue, or like that they've done anything, not necessarily wrong, but that just, like, there hasn't been any change. Because regardless of whether it's right or wrong, like, acknowledging that there's a change in the dynamic and there's a change in the friendship due to you guys being in a relationship now, which obviously you guys are happy about. You guys introduced them together and wanted them to be in a relationship, and now they are in a relationship, and you just want to be happy for them and, like, also still have a relationship with them, but now they're cutting you guys out. That's not cool. That's not cool. It sounds like you guys already had a conversation about this a couple months ago and received pushback. If it were me, I would distance myself. 100%. I would distance myself from this couple and just pull away. Like, you don't need people in your life that are putting these kind of boundaries on you, especially when you were just trying to do them a solid. You were trying to help them write their happily ever after and their love story. And now it looks like that's working and they're engaged and they're going to get married and they're building a house. And now they're pushing you to the gutter. Yeah, fucking right. See you later. Hustle away, muchacho, bitch. See you later. You're not going to have any access into my life anymore. Like, we don't need to be best friends anymore. If you're going to be that type of a friend to me, then see you later. Because the very least is, when you brought it up to them, they could acknowledge your feelings and acknowledge that, you know, it does suck that we do have to, you know, have some boundaries in our relationship, even though we've been best friends since kindergarten. But, like, you are a straight guy. I'm a woman. We are in relationships now. And it's not appropriate for us to be texting every day, you know, just us. Like, that would be one thing, but to just be so dismissive about it and writing off their, I'm assuming, over 25 years of friendship and being like, oh, I don't think anything's changed. I don't think anything's wrong. See you later. Hustle leg, muchacho. I would distance myself from them, especially, like, if it's hurting your husband's feelings and it's hurting your feelings. You don't need friends like that in your life. Sorry. We have so much other crap going on as adults, work, children, all of this stuff. Like, I don't need shitty friends or friends that are diminishing my feelings or making me feel less than. And see ya. Goodbye. Hustle away, go. I would distance myself if I were you guys. 100%. Anyway, thanks for coming to the salon. The next tyrant at the salon says, hi, Ty. I desperately need some advice / reassurance. I have an incredible job opportunity overseas for 1 year and will be moving alone. It's a beautiful place and I wanted to move abroad my whole life, but now the time has finally come and I'm terrified. I've lived with my best friend for the last few years, so I'm mostly looking for advice on living alone day to day without getting lonely. How did you adjust to living alone? Was it immediately easy, or did you find ways to make it better? I guess I just want to hear that it gets better. I can already picture crying myself to sleep every night, and I don't want to regret moving or not enjoy the opportunity. I know I'll make friends there, but it takes a pretty long time to truly feel comfortable with people, so of course it won't substitute being with the friends and family I'm leaving behind. For context, I work in finance and mostly middle-aged men, so as a young girl, the odds of making coworker friends are low. LOL. She's moving to the Middle East. This is so, so, so exciting. This is so exciting. And it's just for 1 year, but you are going to have the time of your life. This is going to be so amazing. And honestly, I didn't even feel like I started to become who I really am until I lived alone. I think everyone in their life needs to live alone at some point or another to really have that time with yourself, with your soul, to soul search, to be sad, to be happy, to laugh at movies by yourself, to talk to yourself, to clean. There are so many beautiful parts about living alone. And I truly do, you know, feel bad for people that don't get to experience that, who just moved immediately from their house, their parents' house, to best friends, to living with their partner or whatever. And that obviously works for a lot of people. And maybe this is me just self-helping myself to feel better about the fact that I've been living alone for 10 years and I don't have a husband. But I truly do think that I've learned so much about myself living alone. And this is going to be such an amazing opportunity for you to truly be out of your comfort zone and in a new place. When I first started living by myself, I was in a new place as well. I moved to LA. I didn't know anyone here. And it was really lonely at times, for sure. And I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it and say that you aren't going to have nights that you miss your friends and you miss your family and that you are lonely, especially there's such a big time difference in the Middle East versus, you know, wherever you're from. I'm sure it's somewhere in America. But there's a huge time difference, and that obviously makes things hard to, you know, catch up and have FaceTimes and whatever and still have your people around you. But my advice would just be embrace it. Embrace this alone time. Embrace the hardships. Embrace the loneliness, and truly, like, use this as a pivotal point in your life to truly discover, like, who you are outside of living with your best friends, outside of living with your family. Who are you? What are you like? You know, it's like good to find out like your routine and your decor style, because you're decorating a place all on your own. And there's so many beautiful parts about it. And when you're lonely, turn on a comfort movie, turn on a comfort podcast. Nothing is better. I mean, I watch podcasts all day, every day, basically, while I'm just like doing stuff around the house or whatever. And because I don't really see people from Monday to Friday, like, I don't do anything. I don't really leave the house much. And it can be lonely, for sure. Like, there are days where it'll be like 5 p.m. and I'm like, hello, have I opened my mouth today? Have I said one single word out loud today? And I find that listening to podcasts help me a ton. And, you know, just comfort movies, comfort music. And let me tell you how fast a year goes by. I can still quote the Camp Rat Coachella episode word for word, pretty much. And now we're about to record a second one in a few weeks. Like, a year goes by so immensely fast. So I just don't want you to spend this year worrying or sad or whatever about this life that you're leaving behind, because just look at it as like a long vacation. Obviously, you're going for work and I'm sure you're going to be busy, but look at it as a long vacation. You're going to go, you're going to adventure. You could meet the love of your life. You could meet a rich Middle Eastern man. Oh, I'm so jealous. Middle Eastern men are so hot. And if they're rich, it's even better. And you work in finance. So, well, oh my God, that hunk was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But you know what that means? That means it's true. That means I'm spitting facts. People on the street are cheering for you. And I'm rooting for you. This is going to be so exciting. And if you've never been in the Middle East, I'm so excited for you to experience. Obviously, it's maybe a little bit different as a girl. I don't know what part you're going to. I'm sure you're going to somewhere, you know, safe. But this is going to be such an amazing adventure. You're going to learn so much about yourself. You're going to learn so much about the world, and you're going to try so many new foods, and you're going to meet new people, and it's going to be so amazing. And you're going to have times that are sad and depressing and lonely, but embrace those, because guess what? I live in Venice, California. I've lived here for 10 years. I have friends that live next door to me. I have friends that live 30 minutes away from me. And guess what? I still feel lonely at times. I still get in my head sometimes. I still, you know, have hard nights living alone. Like, that is just life. That's the beautiful part of being an adult and finding yourself and experiencing life for the first time and, you know, taking risks and taking these adventures, because you don't want to be complacent and bored and in the same routine forever. And this is forcing you out of your comfort zone and into something new. And wow, I feel like I've been talking to myself in circles, but I'm just so passionate about the fact that you are about to have the adventure of a lifetime. This is going to be so exciting. These are going to be the stories that you're telling your grandchildren about, that you're telling your kids about. Oh my gosh, my mom, you know, lived in the Middle East, and she, you know, did this and this and this, and she rode camels and she did that. And there's so many things that you can do out there. And I know you said it's going to be hard to make friends because obviously it's all old white middle-aged men in the finance world, but who knows? You never know until you get there. There's going to be other young women, and I don't know what part you're going to, like I said, but when I went to like Dubai or Abu Dhabi, there are some really bumping spots that seem really fun and like youth focused, and just really put yourself out there. Go there, get a drink, you know, and just put yourself out there, make some friends. And then once you make some friends, like you're going to be able to go on the most amazing adventures of your life. ATVing in the Sahara Desert. Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazada had 1,000 too. I'm telling you, you're going to have the best time ever, and I'm not worried about you. I hope this helped at all, but I'm so excited. Keep us updated. Keep the tyrants updated. I want photos when you're in the Middle East, all the things, all the story times, right back in. I love you. Thanks for coming to the salon. Okay, the next tyrant at the salon says, Ty, help. One of my best friends disclosed that she has been having an emotional affair with a guy she met at work. They've been texting, sexting, working out together, etc. She said it's done, but they've still been communicating / seeing each other. Her husband has no idea. The tricky part is that I'm friends with her husband too. Yikes. I don't feel like it's my place to tell a husband, but this has made things so complicated and it's weighing so heavily on me. How am I supposed to hang out with them acting like everything is fine? I told her I think she needs to tell her husband, but she has no interest in that and thinks that everything can just go back to normal. How do I be a good friend and support her? Her mental health has been so awful since this whole thing, but also let her know that I'm not supportive of the choices she's been making and the fact that she's been lying to her husband. Any and all advice is welcome. BTW, obsessed with you in the pod. Love you so much. Bye. First off, I love you and... yikes. Yikes. Tyrants, you guys know how I feel about cheaters. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Lint licker. Guess what you're going to get? Left fist. Right fist. Right into the face. A fist sandwich. You're going to get a fresh French fist fucking sandwich into your fucking jaw, you dumb little bitch. No, I don't care if it's an emotional affair. Meanwhile, you've been sexting and working out together. Yeah, I'm sure it never got physical. Blow me, bitch. You cannot pull one over me. You cannot pull a fast one on me because I'm onto you, you shady motherfucker. Here's the thing. Absolutely not. What have I said before? I've said it once. I'll say it again a million times, tyrants. Here is the main concern when someone cheats and you're really good friends with them. If this person stood on an altar in front of all of her friends and family and probably put a vow, you know, legally and also in front of the Lord, most weddings are religious, so I'm sure that they did it. And, you know, confessed her love for her husband and is married and is still cheating on him. If your friend can do that to her husband, what the hell do you think she's doing behind your back? What the hell do you think she's going to do to you one day? She's going to cheat you over, screw you over, talk shit about you behind your back, leave you in the dust. Like, absolutely not. Cheating is like the biggest red flag. And obviously when you're teenagers, you're 18, 19, 17, high school, whatever, like whatever. People can grow from that. You're young. Even when you're dating, like whatever, if you're like, if I had a boyfriend cheated on me now, like I would be fucking devastated, but like I would get over it. If my husband, no. When you vow and you make a legal binding contract and you get married and you cheat, you are the scum of the earth. I'm sorry. Like, you cannot do that. That is not acceptable. And I understand there's probably a million. every side has two stories. Every side has two stories. Goodbye. Every story has two sides. And there are so many, you know, there's so much context that I guess that blanket statement that I just said about cheaters being disgusting. There's a lot of context. Like, you know, are you being abused? Are you stuck in a, you know, marriage that they won't divorce you. They, you know, there's a lot of context, obviously. This situation doesn't sound like that. It sounds like she is just stepping out on her marriage because she's bored and her husband has no idea. And it sounds like her husband is a great guy. And you're also best friends with him. I agree for the time being, it is not your place to say anything to the husband. However, I would tell, depending on how you, honestly, you know what I would do? I would tell my friend, I would be like, I understand that your mental health has been really awful since this whole thing. However, you did this to yourself. You put yourself in this situation. And now it's affecting my mental health. You're putting me in a really bad situation to just sit here and act like everything's fine. And I'm supposed to hang out with the both of you and act like everything's fine, even though I've told you, you need to tell him and you don't think that's a good idea. So for the time being, I'm going to take a step back from this friendship, because I would rather take a step back from this friendship than to constantly have anxiety and be lying to a man that I think is a good guy and have you think that I'm supportive of this behavior, because I'm not supportive of this behavior. And the fact that you don't think that anything's wrong and that things can just go back to how they were and that you don't need to say anything to him really is giving me a red flag on who you are as a person. And I need to take a step back and really reevaluate this friendship. I'm sorry. That's what I would do. That is truthfully what I would do. If someone can cheat on the love of their life, their husband, their wife, their partner, what makes you think that they're going to be a good friend to you? No, they literally signed legally binding contracts. They're maybe going to have children with this person, and they are literally continually having an emotional affair, which I'm sure got physical, working out with this person, sexting, whatever. This person is the type of person that is talking shit about you behind your back. I would 100% distance myself from this person until she gets a reality check and realizes that this is unacceptable behavior. Okay, the next tyrant at the salon says, "Hello, my rat king. First off, I love you so much, and your podcast is the most perfect, amazing thing to grace God's green earth. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my tyrant. I love you so much. Anyways, I know you hate reading." True. "Anyways, I know you hate reading, so I'll jump in. For context, I'm 18 and a senior in high school. To start, I live in Utah." Awesome, I know. "Just kidding, it's feral in these streets. Anyways, I'm not Mormon BTW, so this is not a child bride situation. Me and my boyfriend are going on 2 years, and he is truly my perfect match. We are best friends, and I know he is truly the one for me. The reason for this long-ass email is that everyone and their goddamn mother is telling me to break up with him and enjoy college. Which, like, first of all, I'm going to nursing school this fall. I don't got time to enjoy college, okay? Anyways, I'm just wondering if you have any advice on how to feel at peace with not listening to my haters who want me to leave my sweet baby angel. Thank you, Rat King. I love you. Also, sorry, I'm disgusting and refuse to turn on auto caps. I'm screaming. I freaking love you. And I love my high school tyrants. Woo! You guys make me feel so young and relevant. Wow, thank you. Anyways, okay, so I think if you truly think that he is the one for you and you've been dating for 2 years, everyone else can suck a big fat cock, suck a dick. Because guess what? This is the love of my life. Why do you want me to leave my sweet angel baby to enjoy college? Guess what? I'm going to enjoy college with constantly getting digged down by my boyfriend. Okay. That's when I'm going to enjoy college. You'd rather have me out here hoeing in these streets, sad over my boyfriend at college? No, what the heck? However, are they telling you to only break up with him because you need to enjoy college? Or do they think that he's not good for you? Because those are two totally different things. If they think, if everyone in your life, all your friends, your mom and whatever are, you know, maybe saying break up with him because they don't think he's good for you, but they're just using enjoy college as an excuse, that's something to, you know, raise a red flag over. Not saying you have to listen to them, but it obviously, I think people in your life sometimes know you better than you know yourself. And if they all don't think that he's good for you, I think that's something to really reflect on. So, because sometimes you can't see things that other people see. So I would sit down with your mom, and I can't tell if you were being facetious, like everyone and their goddamn mother. Like, is your actual mom telling you that, or is your friend telling you this? Whoever is telling you this, I would sit down with the one that you really trust the most and be like, listen, I know you guys are telling me to enjoy college or whatever. Is that just because you want me to enjoy college, or is it because you don't like him for me? Do you think that we are not a good match? Because those are two very different things. If it's just because they want you to enjoy college, like I said, suck a big fat dick. Shut up. Shut up and mind your business, you jealous hoe. You're just mad that I'm in love and I didn't have to go through college trying to hook up with every other guy on campus, downloading Tinder, because I wanted a man. So if you have been dating him for 2 years, I think you're a pretty good judge of character because you're a tyrant. So obviously you're very smart and gorgeous and delicious. So I trust your judgment. And if you've been dating for 2 years, I don't think you need to break up just because you need to enjoy college. No, that's so dumb. Anyways, love you. Thanks for coming to the salon. We are going to have one more tyrant at the salon today. But if I didn't get to yours today, I'm so sorry. If it's still relevant for next month's French tips, then let me know. I might be restructuring French tips. More on that to come next month with the Patreon announcement. But anyways, this tyrant says, "Hi, Ty. First off, I love you in the podcast so much. I messaged you this weekend asking about French tips because I went to visit my boyfriend's family this weekend, and now I'm in a situation that I am confused and upset about. To give some context, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 2 years, since our first semester in college. We've been inseparable since then, and I have been around his family many times prior to this. My boyfriend and I are on different sides of the political spectrum, but we see eye to eye on most things, especially the important ones, and it isn't a problem within our relationship. His family has far more extreme political and religious views, and they love to joke and bring up the fact that I don't agree with them. In addition to all of this, my boyfriend is the one boy out of three sisters. Normally, they are nice to me, but they also like to bring up our difference and make strange backhanded comments about my appearance or things that I like. Our visit this weekend was pretty standard. Everyone was getting along as usual until Sunday morning before we were about to leave and go back to college. It all started with a sister that is closest with my boyfriend. Some may say a little too close. Making sarcastic / passive aggressive comments at breakfast about our current president and vice president and how much she just loved them. On paper, this doesn't seem rude, but it felt as if it was done to mock or single me out. I brushed this off, but then she continued by making passive aggressive and critical comments about International Women's Day, which I had made a heartfelt post about the day prior. Based on her comments, I assumed she had saw my International Women's Day post and was making fun of it or didn't like it, especially since it was literally still on my story and I already felt like she was trying to call me out prior to this. My feelings were hurt, so I just stayed quiet for the rest of breakfast. Later, my boyfriend noticed that I was upset and I explained what happened. He then went to confront her about it. I didn't want to say anything to her about it. My boyfriend thought it was necessary and it resulted in her getting very angry at me for making a judgment of her character. And I should have stood up for myself. She is also mad because it caused a divide between her and my boyfriend. I have not spoken to her since. She never said she was sorry. She said she didn't say those things to call me out and it wasn't directed at me in any way. I highly doubt this because this is not her first time making passive comments about things that coincidentally have to do with me. Not to mention, she is 4 years older than me, has a literal child, and is married, and is an avid shit talker. Should I let it go, or do I have the right to be annoyed, especially because she was more worried about this causing a divide between her and her little brother rather than just saying she was sorry?" Okay, guys, I know that was a long one, but here's what I have to say to this old, little, wrinkly, ugly twat. Shut up! Shut up! Literally, get out of my face. Get out of my life. Hustle, big muchacho. See you later. Here is the thing. When a boy is the only boy and they have multiple sisters, they are unaware sometimes of their sister's toxicity. And it can take, you know, having a good girlfriend or a good girlfriend, like girlfriend, friend, girl, in their life to, you know, step in and be like, whoa. Your sisters are kind of mean girls, especially if you guys are having, you know, different political views. That's always going to, you know, kind of stir up. I mean, being the only boy in a family's girlfriend is already hard enough. It's already all eyes on you. You have to, you know, get along with the sisters, whatever. And then having different political views is already a whole other feat to handle. And then if they are like being passive aggressive and making comments towards you and making you feel, you know, not welcome, see you later. And this is not something that you have to just push to the side and deal with because you love your boyfriend and whatever. No, if your boyfriend loves you and you guys have a good relationship, he should not be okay with his sisters treating you like this. And it's going to take you standing up for yourself a few times and your boyfriend standing up for you for a few times and possibly some distance in their relationship for the sisters to snap out of it and realize, like, hey, you can either have your brother around and I'm going to be there and you have to be nice to me, or we're not coming around at all because I'm not going anywhere. Like, if you feel like this is someone that you might marry and this is going to be your life partner, like, you're going to have to deal with them for a while and you need to nip this in the butt immediately. You need to let them know that just because you're older than me, just because this is your brother, you cannot walk all over me. Sorry, that is not how this works. I deserve respect. I demand respect. and you're going to give me respect. And if you don't give me respect, then guess what? Say goodbye to a relationship with your brother, because him and I are together and we're going to have a relationship, and see ya. Like, that is that. I think you're totally in the right for confronting or having the brother confront her about it. And until she gives you an apology, don't fold. Don't fold. Don't cave into this mean girl mentality. Oh, this is my little brother. They think they're going to drive you out of this family. No, that's not how this works. And this has nothing to do with politics. This has nothing to do with International Women's Day or how you feel about it or how you feel about the current president or the vice president. This has everything to do with them trying to belittle you and push you out of their brother's life. See ya. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. You have to stand your ground, not let it get to you. Obviously, I know that's so much easier said than done, but as long as your boyfriend is validating your feelings and is seeing what's happening and he went to stand up for you to the sisters, I really think that's all that you can ask for. And if it continues, like I said, I think you just have to kind of distance yourself from the family a little bit until they, you know, learn their lesson. Like, hey, if you want me to come around for spring break, you better be nice. And guess what? If you're rude, then we're not coming for spring break. So you make your choice. And yeah, I've been there before in obviously a very different regard. But when I first came out, that's how it was. And even with the last election last year, you know, me and my family have very different political views. And me and my parents have always been fine. But, you know, I have some aunts and uncles and some cousins or whatever that maybe are more vocal about their views. And I can be very vocal about my views as well. And I remember calling my mom one time and was like, listen, I'm happy to come home. I can't remember if it was for Christmas or if it was for a wedding or what, but I was like, I would love to come home. I would love to see you guys. I'd love to see the kids. But if I come home, it's gotta be a political conversations are off the table. Like, we're not allowed to talk about it. I will not be disrespected. I will not have people raise their voice at me and attack me about abortion, about gay rights. Like, it's just not going to happen. I will book the first flight out of there so fast you will never see me again. And my mom had the conversation with everyone before I got there, and the trip was fine. And sometimes you really do. You just have to set your boundaries. And maybe you're never going to see eye to eye with this sister, but maybe it's going to get to a point where you're going to have to say, listen, I love you. I love your brother, and I respect our relationship, and I respect your relationship. I would like you to have respect for your and I relationship, and let's just make it a deal that we both have boundaries that we're not going to cross. Let's not poke fun at my social media posts, which should be obvious, and let's not talk about politics. We obviously have different views. That's fine. If you want to have, you know, educated, open dialogue and conversation about it, I'm happy to do so. I'm not a closed book. But if you're going to make passive aggressive comments, like, maybe let's keep those at bay. Let's stop doing that. Yeah, but I'm glad that you told your boyfriend that he stood up for you. He sounds like a king, and I'm happy for you. But anyways, thanks so much for coming to the salon, everyone. I truly love French tips so much. It has become one of my favorite things that we do here on the podcast. And like I said, you know, when we come out with the Patreon, it might be restructured a little bit. But I love helping you guys, and I hope that you guys, you know, find my advice helpful at all. I don't know. And what the heck do I know? Take everything I say with a grain of salt. I don't know anything. I'm out here in these streets. I'm single. So don't take my relationship advice with a grain of salt. And I don't have the best relationship with my family. So take that advice with a grain of salt. You know, we're all just here. We're trying our best. I love you guys. Happy, happy Friday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Go hug someone Irish. Is that bad? I don't know. I'm going to get myself in trouble. We love everyone in Ireland, Northern and regular Ireland, or Southern. Oh my gosh. I'm going to get myself in trouble. Anyways, happy Friday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Have a safe weekend, everyone. And I will see you guys on Wednesday.
Bye.